I'm Liz Austin.
And I'm Griff, and this is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. We're joined this week by Liz. She's going to be our podcast co-host.
Dominique is on assignment this week, out visiting some of our sellers, so I am taking this leading role, and she'll be back next week.
That's true. So what's on the show this week?
I should mention that our theme for this month is Know Your Buyers. And so to that end, we're going to start off the month with eBay seller Bill Ingersoll. Bill will share with us his perspective on his buyers because he sells a very specific item on eBay. And this specificity drives how he approaches his buyers, new and established.
And then we'll converse with eBay VP Jay Hansen about how eBay strategy regarding buyers, how we drive them to the site and what we do to keep them here buying.
And it's also the first of the month. So we're going to have a What's Hot segment.
Yay!
And who do you think's going to lead that one?
I don't know. You?
Ooh. And what do you think we're going to talk about?
I don't know. Just off the top of my head, Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's one of the annual retail calendar's biggest shopping holidays.
You know, I'm a mom, so it's in my calendar and I am waiting in anticipation for this moment.
You have to treat your mother right.
That's right. You have to treat your mother right. Happy wife, happy life, as they say. Happy mother, happy... Yeah, I don't know what that one is.
Happy smother. I don't know.
No. Right. And for the next several weeks leading up to Mother's Day, folks who buy for their mothers or wives will be on eBay looking for that special item. And you, as our sellers, will want to have those items up on eBay in anticipation for their shopping journey.
You know, this sounds like we're going to have a real fun episode this week.
Let's do it. Okay. And to start off, we've got Alan, who brings us the buzz.
Welcome to The Buzz. We're here as usual with Alan Aisbit. Hey, Alan, welcome back.
Thanks, Griff. Great to be here.
Hey, I noticed you have a special guest here in the studio with us.
That's right. I'm here with Maria King from the Seller Engagement Team. Maria is heavily involved with eBay Open Planning. Welcome, Maria.
Thanks, Alan. Great to be here.
So, Maria, tell me what sellers can expect at this year's eBay Open.
eBay Open is our biggest seller event of the year. It's basically 3 days of all things eBay. You'll be able to network with other sellers and eBay employees, hear from execs in general session, learn how to take your eBay business to the next level with workshops, biz booths, and seller panels, Open Studio, and the Shine Awards, and have some fun too.
Awesome. What's different this year?
The format will be similar to last year, but we're up-leveling the content and the experience, and we'll have some sneak peek opportunities too.
Ooh, it's a great energizing experience for sellers and staff.
Yes, it's a really valuable experience for eBay sellers. It's empowering for everyone who attends.
So let's get the planning started. When and where is eBay Open?
eBay Open will be Tuesday, July 23rd through Thursday, July 25th at Mandalay Bay in fabulous Las Vegas. Early bird registration is going on through April 11th, which includes discounted tickets and hotel. Register now at ebayopen.com.
And an exclusive to the podcast, I've heard the Shine Awards will be a little different this year. Could you tell me more?
Yes, the Shine Awards are small business awards. This year, there will be live voting capability in the audience during the event.
Wow, so cool. Down to the wire. Sellers, start thinking about your Shine submissions.
Yes, we'll be putting out the call for submission soon.
Awesome. We've been speaking with special Buzz guest Maria King on all things eBay Open. Thanks for stopping by, Maria.
Thanks for having me. Sellers, don't forget, ebayopen.com.
Thanks, Alan and Maria. Can't wait for eBay Open. It's so much fun. Alan, how many opens have you been to?
I believe I went to the first eBay Open back in 2016, and I've been to every year since. So that would make it one, two, three. This would be my fourth eBay.
Fourth eBay Open.
Lucky me.
You're an old pro, Alan.
I know. Like a bit of furniture.
Let's keep it going. What else do you have for us for sellers this week?
Well, there have been some recent seller news announcements we should note. First one up, we're starting with updates to key item specifics. We're making it easier to take advantage of product-based shopping. We're updating key item specifics in certain categories that are important to buyers when they search for items on eBay.
And remember, item specifics include the brand and physical details about the item you're selling, such as make, model, size, type, size, color, and style. When you list in certain categories, you'll receive My eBay and Seller Hub notifications to add them to those specifics.
Pretty I good. Like it. Yeah. That's a skill.
Yeah. It does take a little bit of work.
Yeah, it's really good.
Those categories are PC, laptops, and networks, tablets and ebook readers, graphics and video cards, dishwashers, string lights, fairy lights, my favorite, and video games. You got to review these notifications and you can update your listings when these details are made available. So now, Alan, why again is eBay focusing so heavily on item specifics?
Well, we've identified areas that make it faster and easier for buyers to find what they are looking for. and we're monitoring item specifics that buyers use to find items, providing guidance to help buyers find your items and help optimize visibility on your listings. We'll share more information about key item specifics in additional categories over the year. So sellers, make sure you stay tuned to ebay.com/announcements for the latest and greatest news.
That's right, Alan. Visit my eBay and Seller Hub for guidance on how to optimize your listings with complete and accurate item specifics.
Exactly. We had a busy week. We also announced that buyers are able to update offer expiration on best offers. Best offer is one of the fastest growing buying formats on eBay, and we're going to test giving buyers the ability to specify an offer expiration.
Oh, that's interesting. And we're going to test this, of course, with a select group of buyers. Mm-hmm. As a result, you may begin to see offers with a shorter expiration period than you've seen in the past. The expiration periods are going to be 12, 24, and 48 hours, and will require a seller response prior to expiration in order for the transaction to remain valid. Which I means, I guess if you just ignore it, it just expires, right?
It just goes away.
That's such bad service, though.
That is.
At least acknowledge the offer.
Exactly. Good customer service. And one thing I've seen on the boards is sellers say, I step away from my computer, I shut my laptop down in the evening, and I don't look. How do I stay alert?
Yeah.
So one thing I'd encourage our sellers to do is, if you have a smartphone, is download our app and set up your notifications. So the second a buyer sends a best offer, you're alert, and you can convert that into a sale.
Yeah, and you can use the existing automation options. So that way you're not missing out on offers.
There are so many tools out there to help sellers, so definitely encourage them to brush up on all of the automation tools available. And this definitely benefits buyers who have to make a decision on purchases within a shorter time frame. It allows them to consider listings they may have otherwise passed over. And as we mentioned, sellers still have the ability to set up auto accept and decline thresholds, so they won't need to be available to respond.
That's right. You can automatically accept any offer that is above a dollar amount, mm-hmm. or automatically decline offers that are below a dollar amount. And you can set that automation option, as Alan says, in your listings and with listing tools on your Manage Offers page. What else you got for us, Alan?
In our early seller update, we announced some item condition changes. Beginning March 25th, we'll start automatically updating existing listings in the following categories: electronics, home and garden, health and beauty, and musical instruments that have new other item label to a open box label and definition.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm.
Well, in mid-May, we'll begin automatically updating existing listings in the business and industrial category with a new other label to a new open box label and definition. I love that about business industrial. When I order a John Deere tractor, I like to know if it's coming in its original box and if that box has been opened. Sorry.
Exactly. And I think the reason behind all these changes is to make it easier for buyers to find your listings and make it more industry standard from what buyers are used to seeing.
And I've always thought, new other doesn't really tell me much. What's other?
Other, exactly. Yeah. Totally open to interpretation.
I mean, am I getting a free gift?
Hopefully.
Well,
it's always nice to get a free gift.
Hey, what else do you got for us?
We've also got a sales tax reminder for Connecticut. So beginning on April 1st, 2019, eBay will also start collecting internet sales tax for Connecticut. Additional states will be added in July, and eBay will remit the collected tax to the proper state authorities.
Right, so you don't have to do anything if you're selling inside Connecticut. We take care of that just like we're doing with other states we've already added.
That's right. So how it works is, if the buyer is based in Connecticut, has a ship-to address in Connecticut, we will automatically collect and remit on the behalf of sellers, so sellers don't have to worry about it. We've got their back, and we'll do it on their behalf.
Oh, Alan, my head is spinning. There's so much this week.
I know. I need a couple of weeks off to recover from this one.
Yeah, you're not getting it, so forge ahead, boy.
That's great, Griff. That's all that fits. Thanks for having me.
Alan, it's always a pleasure. We've been speaking with Alan Aisbitt, who gave us this week's buzz. Coming up, it's the main story. Don't go away. Welcome to the main story. Our guest this week is eBay seller Bill Ingersoll. Bill is known on eBay as bikes_trikes_and_quads. Bikes, trikes, and quads. Bill's been selling on the site since 2010. Welcome to the podcast, Bill. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been selling for 9 years. Have you always sold in this particular category?
Yeah, this is, you know, what I got started selling, pretty much where my knowledge base was, and I just put it to work on eBay.
We've already given your user IDs, but we assume you sell conveyances like bicycles, correct?
No, actually, it's ATVs, dirt bikes, snowmobiles, side-by-sides, motorized recreation.
So you have very specific buyers. They're looking for particular things, and that's why they come to you. Over the period of 9 years that you've been selling on eBay, what have you learned about your buyers that makes them different or sets them apart from buyers in general?
I would say, for the most part, my buyers are probably the last group to become internet savvy. A lot of their questions pertain more to using the site and shopping online than it actually does to what we're selling.
That's interesting. The last to come online. Why do you think that is?
It's just the rural locations. Rural areas don't really have much access to high-speed internet. A lot of areas, even around where my business is, some of them would still be using dial-up, if they even have internet. Cell phones have brought it a long way.
We're really looking back several decades in the experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Are there expectations particular to the category that are expectations that you have to meet?
Yeah, for sure. One of the main hurdles is to keep the cost down, to keep these buyers there. We're in the used category, so, you're getting a lot of stuff with blemishes, things that are usable, but cosmetically they're not pretty. And it's just sort of photographing it like there's no description and describing it like there's no photo. That's the only way we can do it. But we don't run into a lot of issues with things like returns and other customer problems.
We're looking at equipment that is big and needs to ship. How do you handle returns from customers like yours?
We do free returns on everything through eBay's return process. We adopted free returns in 2017, and surprisingly, we really saw no difference to our return rate because of it. It's been beneficial to us just to be able to put the customer's mind at ease. They know that there's not going to be any sort of stuff post-sale that they're going to have to worry about.
Do you suspect that your customers like to purchase from you because they have the ability, if they're dissatisfied for some reason, to at last resort return the item as opposed to maybe that's not possible with competitors online?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people who are internet savvy are definitely more critical of who they buy from than about anybody else. We see more of our customers being concerned with things like return policy, especially being in the used category. So, whenever we deliver on our promise, they're a customer for life.
That's a valuable thing to have, a customer for life. Some of the items that you sell, do they require assembly on the part of the buyer?
Yeah, pretty much everything. Just because, if you had to change a certain component on your car, any part they buy from us requires some mechanical know-how. The good thing about our customers are they're do-it-yourself types. So for the most part, there's never really an issue there.
Do you have to provide some level of support or assistance or hand-holding post-transaction when a buyer purchases this and they may run into an assembly issue?
Occasionally, and as a seller, I appreciate when a customer will do that as opposed to just take their chances and damage or ruin something and then have that sort of an issue. So, typically when we run into a question or something like that, it's all through the eBay messaging system, which makes it kind of nice because I can reference the order all in the same window.
You mentioned earlier that you actually get customers that become customers for life through eBay. What are their other options in this particular category besides buying online? Are there local options for them? And if so, why do you think they come to you?
Initially, there was a lot more places locally. The industry that I sell in, the power sports industry, it's kind of gotten a lot smaller over the years because it's an expensive toy and it's something that people only really buy with disposable income. So initially, there was local salvage yards and shops and things like that. But as the internet has really come into its own, it's consolidated those markets down. And once people get used to the convenience of shopping online, they're not going to go search around town or open a phone book or something like that to find a local business. Aside from social media marketing, once they become accustomed to shopping on eBay, that's the place where they'll shop for the foreseeable future.
A lifetime loyal customer is a good thing to have, of course. But what about new customers? You've got somebody who's new on the site or new to buying this type of equipment or this type of purchase online. What strategies have you had to adopt over time to acquire those new customers, if only to keep them out of the competition so that they come to you?
Really, Facebook, that's just where the majority of my customer base exists. So, I use our Facebook page, Facebook groups for specific make and models of ATVs, where they can trade amongst themselves, but they also have the option of checking out our store and things like that. But as a whole, I would say the majority of the market for what I sell only exists on eBay. So it's not like they have too many other options. Typically, what we see is a buyer that has been burned on dealings on Craigslist or a Facebook marketplace sale where there's no recourse for the buyer. They're looking at other alternatives and their options are really limited for the specific thing we sell. Eventually, they'll find their way to eBay if we can't direct them there on our own.
Do you have a particular strategy about how you create and present content on your Facebook page that you believe helps drive buyer interest and eventually purchases?
For me, it's just the little things. You know, I could share an interesting video pertaining to what we sell that'll generate comments and interest, and they might click the page from there, kind of look at what we sell. And if they have an eBay account, sometimes I'll see a big influx of people following us on eBay. And then sometimes it's just they've been looking for something like that, didn't know where they could find it, and stumbled upon it because they were watching a video of a guy loading his ATV and falling off the back of the truck or something like that.
Not recommended practice.
Yeah.
Do you find that a lot of the questions that come in from a new buyer, for example, end up coming to you through your Facebook page?
I would say more so through the eBay messaging system than anything.
Yeah.
But probably secondary to that is just a customer that may go on and Google, you know, our company name and find our website and email us or something like that as well.
How important do you believe the customer reviews, whether they leave them on eBay or somewhere else, that word of mouth, how important do you believe that is to the success of your business?
I think that's pretty much fully responsible for the success of my business. Not even as far as for the success of it, but just being able to look at that feedback and see where you need to improve and things like that, it's super helpful.
I'd like to change the subject just a little bit because I wanted to touch on this one, and that was the importance of market research to the success of your business. How fast do trends or new products come up in the marketplace, and do you find that this is an important part of your business, that you have to know what's coming in order to be able to provide that inventory for new buyers?
It's probably less important for what I sell versus if you were in clothing or electronics.
Sure.
But it's still something you need to be aware of because my particular industry, if you looked at an ATV that was produced in the year 2003, that one model may have been 20 to 40,000 units. But you look at one that was produced in 2010, you know, right after the recession, they may have only made 200 of that particular model. So if you weren't looking at those types of numbers and you only went off of what you saw on eBay listed, you might get confused because there's only a few hundred people riding those versus 20,000 riding the one from 2003. So you might see a higher sale price per item on the newer model, but you have no customer really there to buy that. So those are the types of things I need to pay attention to. And being in kind of used one-of-a-kind stuff, there's a shift where that newer, more popular stuff that everyone's selling becomes obsolete, but also the market prices go way up on that stuff. So, I mean, there's always potential for earnings there, but at the same time, those values are going up because it's harder to source.
So I wanted to end on what I call the elevator pitch. You and I just got on an elevator we've never met before. We've got 100 floors. It's going to take about 2 minutes. And I look at you and I see something indicates that you're a seller on eBay. And I say, hey, I'm thinking about selling on eBay. What have you learned from selling on eBay, Bill, that might be helpful to me? 3 points.
The most helpful thing would just be taking clear photos. You know, you're going to get most buyers who are only going to look at the photos. But secondary to that, if you have a buyer that's actually going to look at your listing, you have to provide the best service possible, you know, that you can afford to provide. And typically, everyone will be apprehensive about things like free returns and free shipping. But in the long run, you're going to more than make up for that in sales. The third thing I would say is just keep it as simple and easy for the buyer as possible. If a buyer has an issue and you start questioning them, whether they're honest or not, they're never going to come back to you. Even if that buyer sees a product and you have the best price, it'll always stick with them that they had a somewhat of a poor experience. It's not something they're going to come back to.
Yeah, those are 3 great points. Hey, I want to thank you for the elevator ride. I think I just got out a little smarter.
No, thank you. And, you know, sharing that type of information helps everyone because whether you're a seller, everybody identifies it as eBay at the same time. So yeah. It benefits all of us to have good practices.
I couldn't have said it better myself. We've been speaking to Bill Ingersoll. He is bikes_trikes_and_quads, bikes, trikes, and quads with these words separated by an underscore on eBay. That's his user ID. You should check him out. Up next, we'll talk to an eBay VP, Jay Hansen, who's going to provide eBay's insight on the importance of buyers. Don't go away. Welcome to the Inside eBay segment of our podcast. Today joining us is Jay Hansen. Jay is the Vice President and COO, Chief Operating Officer of the Americas region for eBay. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Griff. I appreciate you having me on.
Could you just introduce yourself, maybe a little bit about your history at eBay and what you do?
I've actually been at eBay for nearly 17 years, about half of that in our product and technology organization. But most recently, I serve as the vice president and chief operating officer of our Americas region, as you said. And that consists of our merchandising and category management teams, seller and shipping teams.
It's a big role.
It is a big role, Griff. It is a big role.
But I know you well enough. I know you can handle it. So this month on the podcast, we're going to take a close look at buyers, and we're going to have a series of our executive staff come in and give their take about how their role impacts how we deal with buyers, how we collect them, how we study them, how we delight them. So when we talk about buyers, they're the bread and butter for all of us, sellers and the company as well. Who are they? How they shop? How they search? What kind of experience they're looking for and how they get to eBay? Because we believe that if you better know your buyer, the better you can attract them. What can you tell us about how we view buyers and how you view buyers?
So they are an incredibly important part of our ecosystem here, Griff, and we do segmentation analysis so that we best understand who they are and so that we can humanize them in our world here and better understand what we need to do to partner with sellers to deliver on delighting them, as you said. So generally, our segmentation fits along life stage segments that, like growing families, midlife independence, and the like, that help us sort of connect with who they are so that we don't just reduce them to Excel spreadsheets and the like, right? So they tell us, okay, a person in this part of their life stage is going to have different needs than a person in this part of their life stage. A great example is if you look at the gender separation of women with kids and women without kids, they buy different things, right? A woman who is earlier in her life stage without kids, you could imagine, is shopping for different things than once she starts a family.
And a lot more white wine before the kids come.
White wine, right. Fashion.
Right. Fashion changes, of course. Yes,
lots of things. And then once they have kids, it's about the child, right? And there's a lot of baby and home and those sorts of things. So we want to understand our buyers to that degree so that we can bring the inventory that they're looking for and build the experiences they're looking for that help them decide that eBay is the place that they want to buy those things.
And a lot of this research actually drives the way we appeal to them.
Absolutely. And we run such a diverse and broad marketplace that it's incredibly important for us to market them where they are in that life stage, right? Because you can imagine if we're marketing baby stuff to folks without babies, that's awkward. Mm. You know, another buyer base that we have are business buyers. So buyers who are shopping on behalf of their or another small business they work for. It's best to market them along the lines of things that they might buy in that context rather than expecting that they're operating just as another consumer like you or I buying sneakers or something else.
If you're not too familiar with how a marketplace like eBay works, you might make the assumption that, well, once you've got all this information and you understand all these buyers, is that the end of it?
Absolutely not. Right. Unfortunately, in life and in business, things change constantly. And so we need to continue to track and understand our buyers so that we can always contextually offer them what's relevant for them, right? Because ultimately, they come to eBay with some intention, and we want to understand that intention as quickly as possible so we can deliver on it as conveniently and quickly as possible in their experience.
So you talked about a lot of different types of buyers, and I think people think in the marketplace is just what I see and I know of it from my own experience, both as a seller and buyer, but it encompasses everyone who lives, whether they're old, young, regardless of where they live in the United States or the globe. That's a real challenge. I mean, if we were a specialized marketplace that we sold one thing, one category, it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
It is the curse and the blessing of eBay, exactly. Griff, that we have this opportunity. The diversity of customers from what country they live in, what language they speak, what currency they shop for, but also what life stage they might be in.
Yeah.
And then interests are a whole nother angle, right? Because not everybody who is in that same life stage has the same interests. And so we have all these multiple dimensions that drive purchase intent on our buyer's behalf. And we constantly strive to get better so that when they come, we can be contextually relevant to them.
And based on who the customer is, we then learn what kind of merchandise they're looking for.
Absolutely.
But we don't bring merchandise ourselves, eBay, to our own shelves.
We don't. That's
so
true.
That's a challenge.
It's an absolute challenge.
How do we let our sellers know what we've learned about our buyers through the vast amount of resources we put in researching them?
Yeah, exactly.
So here's your opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, so without our sellers, we've got empty shelves, right, Griff?
Yeah.
And so we need to get as good as we can at conveying to our sellers what's the merchandise that our buyers are looking for so that they can capitalize on on that connection. And so we're constantly looking at our inventory and our categories to know where do we need more? Where are we seeing incoming demand that is not being met by the inventory that our sellers do bring to our platform? Right. And using various tools and mechanisms to message that to our sellers through through the platform itself, through our emails, through other mechanisms. Yeah.
What are we doing differently in 2019 to attract new buyers? Because it's nice to, once you've got a buyer and they like the experience, now we can pretty much count on them, right? But we're always looking for new buyers. We have to look for new buyers.
We need to constantly be growing our buyer base.
Because I don't want to be depressing, but we know what the last life stage is.
I know where you're going with this.
I know, and I'm not going to go too deep, but it's too morbid, but... That's just the circle of life, as they say in The Lion King. So we need to keep fresh buyers coming in. What are we doing differently this year?
You're absolutely right. At one end of that spectrum is that. The other end of the spectrum are new consumers coming into marketplace every day. And we need to always be understanding who they are, what they're looking for, and the like. So, Griff, there's really four things that we're doing, and they're all built on that segmentation perspective that I shared with you at the beginning. The first is we're spending more and more on marketing. The most important thing we can do is to go out and, in the advertising and marketing marketplace, bring buyers to our platform, whether that's about driving what we call at eBay above the line or brand marketing that continues to drive consideration of eBay as a place to shop, to lower in the funnel, as we say, paid search or other advertising dollars that drive customers who are already deep into their consideration for a given item. So first thing first, spend more on marketing and get more for those marketing dollars than we ever have in the past.
As a guinea pig, I can tell you, it just worked for me this last 2 weeks.
Say more. What happened?
Well, because I went and bought something I haven't bought before, which are a pair of Levi's, because I always wore a different brand. And it seemed that eBay liked that I bought Levi's, and now they're showing me more Levi's when I come to the site and in my emails. And I bought two more pairs because of the marketing. Congratulations, Jay. You got more money out of my wallet.
You're making me happy right there. Everyone needs more than one pair of jeans, Chris.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
There's no limit.
I love it. Right. I love it.
What's the second thing we're doing?
The second thing, Griff, is partnerships. We are constantly growing partnerships that help us reach buyers where our buyers are and where our buyers are in the contextual mode for shopping. I'll give you an example. We've launched a partnership with ESPN. And that partnership with ESPN allows us to market on ESPN's platform and networks around the globe, online as well as on air. And it's in those moments that we'll connect with buyers who are thinking in the context of their enthusiasm for a sports, for example, right? So building partnerships off traditional advertising modes where we can connect with people and giving people the ability to fulfill and complete that transaction as close to that contextual setting as possible is another thing that we're doing. The other one we're doing is we're trying to get out and just be in the communities that we serve day in and day out. I view Griff eBay as an aggregation of a bunch of small markets, right? We're not just one big marketplace. We are an aggregation of a bunch of smaller buyer-seller marketplaces for unique interests, industries, etc. So, for example, sneakers. We recently did a sneaker drop and campaign in conjunction with the NBA All-Star Game. And that meant getting out there into that community, being a part of that community, and having an event that was relevant for people whose interest is inspired by a particular moment, in this case, the NBA All-Star Game. So really, if we're going to best understand our community, it's about breaking down eBay into a bunch of smaller marketplaces that we better understand and having people who can authentically connect with those communities. And then the last one, which we also spend a lot of time and candidly invest a lot of resources in, is continuing to evolve the customer experience. What do we do to make it easier to shop on eBay? A good example here, image search and using computer vision to provide browse-based buying and shopping capabilities in categories like fashion and soft home, where keyword searches maybe don't work as well because it's hard to describe without often a brand or a specific product. So we need to continue to invest in those things.
It worked with the Levi's. Exactly. I got more in my closet right now. So.
Exactly. And then also in this area, we're focused on, of course, our transition to managing our payments experience,
yeah,
right?
It's because a big deal for buyers.
It's a big, big deal, right? They want to have more flexibility with how they pay, and that's ultimately what we intend to deliver over the course of that project. And then we also know, Griff, that attributes or the aspects associated with a given product drive a lot of the buying experience. We see more and more buyers who are filtering using navigation features on the left hand of the search results page. And the reality is, Griff, if that's not filled in for a given item, it's not going to show up in that filtered search. So we're trying to make it easier for our sellers to actually give us more data about the items they're selling so that we can have them get more visibility as more and more buyers use those capabilities.
So I want to ask you, what advice do you have for our sellers and their attempts to get the buyer traffic that we're bringing in to the marketplace?
So it starts with just making sure that you're bringing the right inventory that's relevant to our buyers. And then importantly, pricing it. All of our research shows that price is probably the most important consideration customers have. I think that's, you probably looked at the price of those Levi jeans before you bought them.
Yeah, and in these two cases, they were cheaper than on the Levi site. So it was a good deal.
Exactly.
So, and I did the research.
Most buyers do, right? We know that. And so I think as a seller, it's important to at least understand how your pricing compares to alternatives for those buyers and make sure that you're competitively priced. The other is, you know, you need to optimize the listing, right?
Yeah, like, it's a mantra here on the show.
Photos matter. Yeah. I can't tell you, like, we've done plenty of A/B studies that show that a well-done photo with a white background and clean imagery far outsells or outconverts an image that has a cluttered background or the like, right? Yeah. We also need to make sure that your listing title fits with search terms, as everybody knows, and that it's mobile optimized. We are seeing buyers dramatically move towards mobile in their shopping behavior, so I strongly encourage you to look at your listings, not only how they look on a browser on a PC, but how they look on your mobile phone, both in an mWeb or a browser on a phone experience, but also in the native app experience.
Whether that's Apple or Android or... I guess those are the big two right now. Windows is gone. So, and a lot of sellers don't do that. So that's great advice.
And then promoted listings, you've probably discussed that on this show.
Oh, we've had Shefali on quite a few times. Yes, they work.
It works. Yeah. Exactly. If you're looking to grow the exposure for an item and give it that kickstart and look for those expanded sales, you know, do the math on what you can do there. But promoted listings, I guarantee, work. We're looking at more ways that we can drive promoted listing visibility across the platform. Mm-hmm. So that clearly works. And then in general, it's just be aware of the changes we're making, because ultimately all the changes we're making are driven by understanding of what buyers are looking for and what helps them convert more. And then passing on, as you said at the beginning, we don't bring the inventory ourselves. We partner with sellers to enable them to sell to the buyers who come to our platform. So as we're making these changes and offering them to buyers, we depend on our sellers to adopt those capabilities such that their listings will get visibility in those experiences we're building for buyers.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So yeah. We're all in this together.
Ultimately, we're trying to drive sales for our sellers, and it's only when they win, Griff, that we win.
I want that on a t-shirt. Jay, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today. Please, will you come back?
I will absolutely come back. So Griff, it's been a pleasure. Many, many thanks.
We've been speaking with Jay Hansen. He's the Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, Americas Region, here at eBay. I'm Grip. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more here on the podcast. Okay, we're back, and we have our monthly What's Hot segment. Joining us now is Liz Austin, our marketing strategist, and she knows what's hot. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
That's it? Well, I guess we're going to have a taciturn interview today.
That is it.
So, Liz, in the U.S., Mother's Day is celebrated as the second weekend of May, which is May 12th this year, and it's a huge retail moment.
Yes, but let's just get that right. May 12th is for the U.S. It's not Mother's Day everywhere in the world.
Oh, it isn't?
No, and get this. Typical men, Father's Day, get lots of Father's Day around the world. So my husband gets two Father's Day. He gets one in Australia, and he gets one in the U.S., but I only get one because Australia and the US celebrate Mother's Day on the same day.
Okay, hashtag Mother's Day me too. It is a sourcing opportunity for sellers, correct?
Absolutely. And there are no hard and fast rules about what to offer your mother on this special day, but plenty of people kick things off with a nice breakfast in bed. Mm. I don't mind a croissant and a coffee in the morning on Mother's Day. And did we mention that it's actually May 12th, the day of Mother's Day, for those that are Googling the date of Mother's Day over there?
We did, but I think it'll bear repeating all the way through the interview.
May 12th.
You know how mothers are. They can be very passive-aggressive if you don't recognize it.
Helicopter mother.
Exactly. So according to the National Retail Federation, yes, I did my research. Spending around Mother's Day has exceeded. This really floored me. It's a record spend of $24 billion.
It's crazy.
It is.
And that's just in the U.S.
Where there's only Mother's Day in the U.S. So.
I just said there's one in Australia on the same day, May 12th.
Oh, okay.
But this statistic is just the U.S.
That's amazing.
And it's predicted that people aged 35 to 44 would be the biggest spenders, spending an average of $180 to $224 each.
It makes sense, really. I doubt there's very many people 75 years and older who are spending money on Mother's Day.
But maybe self-gifting because their children have forgotten about them by that age.
I just sit here in the dark. You never write. You never call.
So the Gen X's and early millennials are buying gifts that range from electronics to jewelry, fashion buying items that exemplify and celebrate the strength and inspiration that comes from their mother.
Well, accordingly, gone are the days of macaroni necklaces. Now mom's necks are being graced with things like gemstones, gold, silver, diamond pendants, pearls for the clutching, and brand name perfumes, of course.
Where do the Gen X's and millennials get this money to buy these beautiful things for their mothers?
From their mothers. Here's your allowance, buy me a gift.
Can we just back it up? What are macaroni necklaces?
Oh, you didn't know this? Didn't they have this in Australia?
No, we don't eat macaroni.
So like if you were in preschool or first and second grade, one of the craft projects, in my time, it all involved like macaroni, like elbow macaroni and you pasted it to paper or you strung it on a thread and you brought it home and said, yeah, Mommy, I made your necklace.
Oh, and she would have loved that. Great, another macaroni necklace. Just what I need.
Actually, I'm sure they did.
Well, moving right along.
Yeah.
We have some of the top-selling items on eBay. And based on last year's trends and recent sales for gifting around this time, these are the things that we're predicting are going to be popular.
Okay.
When buyers are searching and shopping for their mothers.
Right.
So things like women's shoes, sport shoes, women's sandals from hot brands, Rebecca Minkoff, Sam Edelman, the lovely Birkenstocks.
For mom?
Yeah.
For hippie mom.
They're trending. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For hippie mom. Right. Fashionable mom.
Fashionable hippie mom, okay.
Gucci for those mums that like things a bit more boutique or exclusive.
Of course.
Speaking of that, women's handbags, again, Gucci, Coach, Vera Bradley, women's jewelry, you've already spoken about the one that you stole, women's sunglasses, makeup from L'Oreal, MAC, foundation, eyeshadow from Urban Decay, Too Faced, makeup brushes, that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Crafts for Mother's Day. I can't say I'm a crafty mother, but for those mothers that love a bit of craft out there, a Silhouette Cameo 3 digital cutting machine, not quite sure what that is. CryCut Explore Air 2 Smart Die Cutting Machine.
Well, these sound like business and industrial. Mom is Rosie the Riveter.
Nice. These are very crafty mums. And kudos to you. Absolutely. I've always wished I was a crafty mum.
You're not crafty?
Mm-mm. No. What about tech? Tech for Mother's Day. So the latest iPad that Apple released, you know, the latest iPhone, so they can put it on their restaurant.
And these are all ideas for sellers for sourcing products to get ready for. That's a big, big selling period of the year.
Yeah. And we always think tech season is later in the year, but tech is what mothers are looking for and they're very, very happy to receive it.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's lots of gift items to list for sales in the next several weeks. Now, sellers should remember too that with gifts, free returns are ideal in case mom shopped for herself ahead of time and she had the same idea, right? So,
or if her kids thought they knew her but actually she didn't, and then
lovely.
She could return them, or the child could return the item. Which I know that my kids probably, we definitely need free returns on any purchases for mom.
Yeah, I'd be very careful about buying mom things like from Victoria's Secret or something. Foundation wear isn't good as a Mother's Day gift, I think, right? But if you're gifting for yourself, so maybe for sourcing, right?
Well, there is a big self-gifting moment here, yeah. And I think that is the point. So the Gen X and the millennials are all buying there for their items, but for mothers who are who've got older kids, and the kids are very busy living their lives, they probably forget to give their mums things for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So the mums have absolutely every right to go and do some self-gifting.
So get out there. The word is get out there, sellers, and start sourcing products for Mother's Day.
As always, the buyers are looking for the best priced, the best retail standards like free shipping and returns to remain competitive.
Yeah. So it's nice to have the item, but you want to also compete on service as well as price.
Definitely.
Yeah. Liz, I want to thank you. It's always a pleasure when you come on one of our most popular segments.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Oh. And I think it's because it's once a month, so people wait for it with bated breath.
Oh, the anticipation.
Anticipation. So we've been speaking with Liz Austin. She's our marketing strategist here on eBay. She's a member of our podcast team. And coming up, it's the end of the show.
Specificity. Liz,
hello.
Oh, just practicing that word.
It's a little late. That was in the intro. But I think you got it finally.
Got it.
By the way, in the interest of specificity, that's our show for this week.
Wow. Is that it?
That's it. Yeah. Thanks again, Liz, for filling in for Dominique.
No whackers, as we say down under.
What does that mean?
No whackers. It was my pleasure. No worries.
No whackers?
No whackers.
Okay. No whackers. Do you care to give our listeners a little tease about next week's episode, Liz?
Sure. Next week, we're going to continue and extend our theme about knowing your buyers, and we're going to have a conversation with the seller of soft goods.
Soft goods. That's an interesting term. Exactly what do we mean by soft goods?
So hard lines and soft lines are also known as hard goods and soft goods, and they're two major categories of retail inventory. The term soft goods primarily refers to items that are literally soft, such as clothing and linens. Hard goods, you could work it out, and non-personal items such as sporting equipment, appliances, electronics, or even business and industrial.
Okay, well, that makes more sense, I have to tell you. And as we can never know too much about the terms soft and hard goods, you can also never know too much about your buyers. So in the meantime, until next week, don't forget our number.
888-723-4630.
That's it. And you can call us on that podcast hotline, 888-723-4630, at any time of the day, any day of the week. And you can leave your question or comment. And if it's appropriate, we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not keen to speaking to Griff, which is understandable...
What?
You could always email us at sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Oh, that's right. Sellingonebay@ebay.com. You know, if you're finding that winter is just going on a little too long where you are and you're holed up in your house and you're selling and listing and photographing and shipping and you're going out of your mind, well, then you need a break and you should be attending a local eBay seller meetup in your area. At seller meetups, sellers on eBay share tips and stories and insights, and they even commiserate a little bit, and usually there's a little nosh and a little beverage, so it's well worth it. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to register for eBay Open, which is also a fantastic place to meet other like-minded sellers. So ebayopen.com, early bird special now, $399 until the 14th of April, so get on it.
What's it going to go up to, do you know?
$499.
Oh, so it's going to jump $100.
Sorry, $350.
Oh, $350
to $499.
You know, I think that's what a 42% jump.
Aren't you? Do you have an app for that?
Well, not in my head.
No way.
No, I have an app. We did this before the show.
You are so smart.
I know.
Look at you.
Well, that's our show for this week, Liz. Hey, would you mind rolling the credits?
What are they?
It's where we give some notice to the fact that I'm not and you're not the only people on this team.
Oh, no way. We should take all the credit.
You do have those in front of you, right?
Okay, so, right. Now the official ceremony begins.
Okay,
presenting our Selling on eBay podcast team roster, Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbit.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith. Gosh, he's got a big job.
Well, he does a lot more work than you and I. Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Well, that would be me.
That would be you, yes.
Editor-in-Chief and Host, that would be
you.
Griff, yes, it's true. And last but not least, our last-minute fill-in co-host for this week, Liz Austin. I want to make special mention and thanks for coming in and taking over while Dom's been out. Thank you so much.
Where are the flowers?
They're on the way. They should be here by the end of the
day. Great.
Okay. Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
So what kind of flowers did you buy me?
Freesias.
I don't like freesias.
It's too late.
Return.
You and Miranda Priestley.
Returns. Okay. It's all about free returns.
Yeah, they'll be wilted by then. Can't you learn to like them?
Maybe. But can you just do better next time? Maybe ask me what I want first.
Well, what is it you want? In flowers, what do you want?
100 roses, please.
100 roses?
No, that's a bit predictable.
Yeah, I mean.
Jasmine. A whole fence full of jasmine, my favorite scent.
Well, that's the easiest because it's growing on my fence, literally in the driveway. So
like
I'll just,
a weed.
Yeah, like
here's
just,
some weeds
yeah,
for
just,
you.
Here's a bouquet of
I love you
jasmine.
So much. Here's some weeds.
And on Father's Day, I expect something.
Who did you father that I don't know about?
Time.